Good morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. Welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. It's day 281, and we're in Deuteronomy chapter 27. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence in our lives. Thank you for your goodness to us. You are good. You are always with us, and your word speaks truth to our hearts. Speak to us through your word today, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 27. Now Moses and the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, "Keep the whole commandment that I command you today. And on the day that you cross over the Jordan to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, you shall set up large stones and plaster them with plaster, and you shall write on them all the words of this law when you cross over to enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you. And when you have crossed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones concerning which I command you today on Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall wield no iron tool on them. You shall build an altar to the Lord your God of uncut stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God, and you shall sacrifice peace offerings and shall eat there, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God, and you shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly." Then Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Keep silence and hear, O Israel, this day. You have become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God, keeping his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today." That day Moses charged the people, saying, "When you have crossed over the Jordan, these shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin, and these shall stand on Mount Ebal for the curse: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall declare to all the men of Israel in a loud voice, 'Cursed be the man who makes a carved or cast metal image, an abomination to the Lord, a thing made by the hands of a craftsman, and sets it up in secret.' And all the people shall say, 'Amen.' Cursed be anyone who dishonors his father or his mother." And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who moves his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who misleads a blind man on the road. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who perverts the justice due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's nakedness. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who lies with any kind of animal. And the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who lies with his sister, whether the daughter of his father or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who strikes down his neighbor in secret. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who takes a bribe to shed innocent blood. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Cursed be anyone who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And all the people shall say, "Amen." Amen. Within the covenant structure of God's relationship with his people, there are blessings for obedience, and there are curses for disobedience. The law is the good standard of God, the good standard that God requires. It is written here on stones, just as at Mount Sinai it was written on stones. God carved it first on stones, two tablets of stone on Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, and now the people are being instructed to write this law on these stones. You shall write on the stones all the words of this law very plainly. And the law is good and holy and right. It reflects the good and holy and right heart of God. It commands us how to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, how to love our neighbor as ourselves, how to walk in righteousness, justice, and holiness in all the ways of God. It's a good law. The problem with the Old Covenant, with the Mosaic Covenant, is that it was written on stone and not on the heart. So the people would say it, and they would hear it, and they would write it, but their hearts remained hard. Not all of them, of course. God was pleased to save some. God has a faithful remnant that he saves by grace through faith. But this external record of the law is not able to save because it's unable to change hearts. It's unable to grant life. It's only able to present the standard and the consequences for the standard. And in chapters 27 and 28 of Deuteronomy, God sets it up so that in 27 he tells them the curses for those who will not keep the law, and in 28 he tells them the blessings for those who will keep the law. And when they cross over and they're in the Jordan, they are to have six tribes stand on Mount Gerizim: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, Benjamin, and they are to pronounce the blessings. And then six stand on Mount Ebal: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, and they pronounce the curses. It is interesting that Judah and Joseph and Levi, who are special tribes to the Lord — Judah, the tribe of kingship; Levi, the tribe of priesthood; Joseph is the tribe of that faithful man of God who we read so much about in the latter part of Genesis — that they're all on the side of blessing. It's an interesting observation of the text. So here God is saying, beginning with idolatry. Idolatry is that which replaces God, leads your heart away from God, becomes a God substitute. And you're cursed if you worship an idol. Now, we don't have, mostly in our culture today, we don't have carved or cast metal images. We don't have things made by the hands of craftsmen that we set up, but we still have idols. We have those things that our hearts are drawn to, those things that we tend to put too much value in, those things that we tend to value above God, those things that we desperately want to protect and keep at all costs. Cursed though be those who dishonor father and mother. Father and mother and all those who are in authority over us are put over us by God. And if we replace God, we end up resenting the authority he puts over us. If we replace God with a God substitute, an idol, we end up resenting the authority that God puts over us. And then that idolatry and rebellion against authority, that leads to grave injustice. Moving our neighbor's landmark, that means we're greedy to gain what we have not earned and what doesn't belong to us. Misleading a blind man on the road, that's horrible injustice, that you would take advantage of someone who is poor, blind, helpless, to mislead them and take advantage of them and usually take their money. Perverting the justice that is due to the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. So these three are all having to do with forms of injustice that are self-serving, right? Self-gaining. And then you have sexual immorality: lying with your father's wife, lying with any kind of animal, lying with your sister, lying with any mother-in-law. There's four kinds of immorality. See the flow? Idolatry is where it begins. No longer worshiping God, but worshiping a God substitute. And then resentment against God-given authorities. And then injustice. And then gross immorality. Sexual immorality that then leads to murder and bribery and just a complete breakdown of the fabric of society. We're seeing this happen in America over the past couple of generations. In the church and the West, you have a replacement of the one true God and his authoritative word with idols, God substitutes, refashioning God in our own image as a form of idolatry. And that leads to these consequences of injustice and sexual immorality and gross immorality within the culture and the breakdown of the fabric of society, because there is a curse. There is a curse to violating God's law. But the good news of the gospel — where do we see Jesus in this chapter? The good news of the gospel, according to Galatians chapter 4, is that Jesus became a curse for us by hanging on a tree. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. He became the curse so that we might be blessed. If we're honest, there are levels and layers at which we're guilty of these things. We're guilty of idolatry. We're guilty of resentment against God's given authority. We are guilty of immorality of one kind or another. We're guilty of injustice of one kind or another. Sometimes it's just quietly participating in what we know is a system and a society of injustice. We're guilty. But Christ became the curse for us in order to redeem us from the curse of the law. This is the curse of the law that we deserve, that Christ took for us. Redeemed from the curse of the law, by God's regeneration, we have the law written on our hearts, that we might love the law. We might not just outwardly acknowledge, yes, that's true, and yes, that's right, and yes, there's a curse, and yes, there's a blessing, but we might love God's law from the heart and truly love God and love neighbor as those who are redeemed and transformed because of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Write your law in our hearts. Transform us by your Holy Spirit, that we might walk in your ways. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's Deuteronomy chapter 27. Tomorrow, we'll look at Deuteronomy 28. Have a blessed day in the Lord. Amen.